I'll call this meeting of the City Council, a special meeting of the City Council to order. And we will start with the roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie.
Here.
Councilmember Costello.
Here.
Councilmember Brown.
Yes, indeed.
Councilmember Barnidge.
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara is absent tonight.
And I will add for Mayor Ferrara that he is at the National League of Cities meeting, a meeting that he committed to over a month ago. With that.
Is your mic on?
I think so. Is my mic on?
Okay.
Okay. With that, we will move to the flag salute. I'll go ahead and lead that flag salute. Would you rise with me?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, independent, with liberty and justice for all.
Going to give you guys a few minutes. We are going to be working with public with speaker slips tonight. So, have we got any yet at all? So, if you want to speaker slips, if you're going to speak on more than one item, go ahead and mark that the way we'll be setting this up. There will be this opportunity to speak, and then I will give an opportunity after the public presentation for the public to speak in and to ask questions, and to the best extent he can, our investigator will answer those questions. So I only have two, so I suspect there are going to be more. And I just want to ask real quick, Jim Hill and Patty Welsh, do you want to speak on both items? Because I'd like you to indicate if you're only going to speak on one item, say so, but if you want to speak on both, mark one and two. Or I guess they would be 8 and, well, just mark them 1 and 2. I'll know what they are. So, Jim Hill, do you want to speak on both items? Number 6. And Patty Welsh? So just number 4. Number 4, right? 4. Thank you. Okay. So with that, I guess you're up, Patty. And I don't have anybody to follow you yet. So one other thing I would ask is that if you are the following speaker, if you could come to the front so that we can rotate. We don't waste as much time in between speakers. I would appreciate that. Now, I'm not going to time you unless I have to, but at this point I'll just leave it open. If it starts to drag on, I'll turn on the timer. Thank you.
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I asked for an independent investigation, and I want to thank you for doing just that. It appears from the report that I was incorrect, that something inappropriate happened on July 3rd. I do find it interesting that it was stated a significant number of employees felt there was more than a working relationship between the two. However, that is in the past, and I feel there is no reason to keep beating a dead horse. Mr. Adams has given his resignation, and we have a new mayor coming on board along with a new council member. I hope we have all learned a thing or two from the incident and how things were dealt with afterwards. I think hindsight being 2020, most everyone would have done things differently. I know I would have. Thank you.
And with that, we'll go to, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jim, you wanted to speak on public comment or number 6?
Well, no, Otis is coming, so.
Otis Page of 606 Middle Street. I want to thank Joe Costello for your service to the city. You put in many years, many hours of work, and I want you to know we may not have been on the same page on many issues, but I respect you very much, Joe, and I thank you very much.
This will be Jim Hill, followed by Will Power.
Jim Hill, Arroyo Grande, Honorable Mayor, members of Council, Mayor Pro Tem. I too wish to thank Joe for his many years of service on the council, and results of the recent election being what it was. But thank you, Joe. I sincerely appreciate your service to the city over many years.
That will We'll move to Nisha Devar. Devar? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, council members, city staff, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alaji Devar. I am a resident of City of Arroyo Grande. I would like to emphasize a few points here. The two city employees under consideration here are not elected officials. They are public employees. While I can appreciate public participation in such a meeting, I would like to caution you that public individuals are not experts in personal management subject. They seem hardly to have any experience in managing a large group of professional staff. You have done more than enough about comments made from this podium in past 2 months. Now, from this point on, you should make a decision based on professionals or professional investigations you have received and your best judgment, proportionate with an employee error, if any, and keep employees' full right in mind. Otherwise, it may be viewed as cowardice and mediocrity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. With that, we'll move to Colleen Martin, followed by Mike Andrews.
Thank you. It's been a long 3 months. Three actions in my mind need to occur tonight. First, it is time for Mr. Adams to no longer work for the City of Arroyo Grande. The investigation summary states, while the Sintra Group investigation did not uncover evidence of an inappropriate relationship between Adams and McClish, the interviews did reveal a speculation and perception by a significant number of city employees we interviewed that there was something more than a casual or business manager-subordinate relationship between the two. However, this was only a shared perception and not supported by any substantive evidence. Substantive meaning like you saw it. Rarely do crimes have substantive evidence. Police officers are trained to use inferences. A couple Sunday breakfasts down the street at the Village Cafe, and perhaps the investigator could have heard more perceptions of the inappropriate relationships that Mr. Adams and Mrs. McClish shared outside of work. Mr. Adams' contract states that any actions that bring embarrassment to the city would be cause for his dismissal. Certainly, with the comments blasting the police and Dave Congleton, coupled by dressing up on Halloween as a bronze statue making a mockery of this process and lying to everyone, Mr. Adams met the threshold long ago. Thank you for doing the most important job as a city council, that is hiring and supervising the top administrator for the city. I'm sorry to say, but it's time to say goodbye. Secondly, it's time to tell the truth and apologize to the AGPOA, your community, and the employees who work for our city. Did the police act with animosity towards Mr. Adams? No. In fact, the last lines of the investigation summary states, however, no one we interviewed, either on the council or other city employees, had anything other than praise for the police officers investigated in this incident. The truth of the matter is that the integrity and professionalism of the officers were never called into question. So the summary contradicts the accusations so ardently claimed by both the mayor and the city manager. Please stop blaming the police for responding to a cry for assistance on July 3rd. They were doing their job. Please, it's time to say you're sorry, do what is right, and make amends. Stand up and say you made a mistake. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. Lastly, I beg you, you love Arroyo Grande. Everyone here loves Arroyo Grande too, and so do the voters and the people who live here. Tonight, you can be a hero. Take the lead. Do what is right for the city. create a new foundation of trust and honesty and integrity. Bring in the district attorney, the auditors, and the press, and set your house in order. Until the truth is told and revealed, we cannot start the process of healing. And it must start tonight here in council chambers. Thank you.
Mike Andrews, followed by, and Otis, is that when you wrote the issue, is that going to be the presentation by the investigator? Are you here, Otis?
Back in the back. I don't know if we can hear you.
Otis, you have a speaker slip. Did you speak, or are you asking to speak on an item later in the agenda? Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Andrews, thank you.
Good evening. Michael Andrews, Aurora Grande resident. Excuse me if I mumble a little bit. I just got out of the dentist chair a little bit. So I had no intention of speaking tonight, but I was so mad and disgusted at our existing mayor's comments he made today to the Santa Maria Times. That was terrible. What a waste of... It just made me sick. Made me terribly sick. Our police officers are trained professional observers. They are trained to look in people's eyes, to look at their clothes, to pay attention to the things that are going around them. Officer Ayala, on the night of July 3rd, I saw Adams walking down the hallway towards me. The door to his office was previously closed. His clothing appeared disarranged and his hair was mussed. I stated that we were looking for McLish. Adam seemed upset and asked me why she would be in the building. Senior Officer Day, as I reached the corner of the hallway, I observed Steve Adams asking Officer Ayala what he was doing here in the building and stating there was no Trish McLish in the building. Adams turned to face me. His hair was messed up and he appeared to have been sleeping. I then asked if McLish was in the building and started to walk into his office. It was then that Adams said, yes, he was in there. She was in there. I walked into his office and McLish was hiding behind the door and appeared to be holding her shirt up to her chest. Her hair was messed up and her eyes were droopy. I've heard people come in here, citizens come in here and say, oh, we believe the police officers. We just don't think they're telling the truth and so on. But this is what it all comes down to right now, because if you believe McLish was hiding behind that door, holding his shirt up, if you believe Officer Day, then you pretty much got to believe something was going on inappropriate in that office that day. Commander McBride, I saw and heard the officers talking to Adams. I could hear anger in his voice. It appeared that he was unkempt and his shirt was partially untucked and his hair was uncombed. Officer Doherty, I observed Adams in the hallway. I noticed his hair was disheveled and his shirt appeared to be halfway tucked in. Adams became defensive as the conversation progressed. I had my grandson over at the house a couple days ago and I had a brand new box of Oreo cookies on the counter. I left for a few minutes and I came back in. The Oreo cookies were open. There was a crumb of trails leading right to my grandson standing there with Oreo cookie all over his face. I said, grandson, did you eat those Oreo cookies? And he said, no.
Thank you for that. And then finally, I have Glenn Martin about closed session. This would be your opportunity to comment about closed session.
Good evening, City Council. My name is Glenn Martin. I live on Olive Street here in town. Like many citizens present and not present, I'm disappointed in the performance of the City Council. The July 3rd incident was the straw that exposed the dysfunctional methods of the council, which resulted in the public's outcry and the successful write-in campaign. Without exception, everyone sitting at the dais, and including the city attorney, given your collective tenure at your respective positions, should be familiar with the Brown Act requirements on disclosing votes taken in closed session. From my understanding, this includes standard voting protocol: motion, second, discussion, vote. However, the council has abandoned this voting protocol and has either engaged in misbehavior in an attempt to hide their true intentions or has been manipulated by a bully county council member. To recap, as described in the Central Group summary available online, on July 7th, and I quote, Carmel directed Deputy City Attorney Michael McMahon to conduct a follow-up inquiry with each of the police officers who were on scene at City Hall the night of the July 3rd, unquote. Mr. Carmel is quoted in the Tribune saying he made this request on his own accord without discussing this with anyone on council. Really? With the flurry of calls amongst and between the involved parties, that is difficult to believe. I wonder if Mr. Carmel has the authority to commit resources and spend city funds without staff or council authorization. If so, I wonder what limits, if any, he has in this area. If not, then the authority to commit Mr. McMahon's time came as the result of a serial meeting of the council. Without going into great detail, a serial meeting is illegal under the Brown Act. If this was the case, then the council directed Mr. Carmel, without the due process of an agendized issue or formal meeting, to take action. Also highlighted in this interest summary, there were two specific instances when the council went into closed session for confidential discussion, only returned to open session and claimed that no votes were taken. However, in both cases, decisions were in fact made. The first, July 8th, and I quote, the council reached a consensus to direct Carmel to reprimand Adams. In that reprimand, the council directed Carmel to notify Adams that any additional or similar behavior could result in dismissal. On September 20th, the council met again for closed session with public employee performance evaluation the topic. You returned from closed session, reported no votes taken. However, somehow the decision to reverse course and order a new investigation was made on that date. I became curious about all the non-vote consensus decisions being made by the council in research meetings from the beginning of the year. There is not a single instance where this council returned from closed session with a reported vote. In fact, minutes from the May 27th meeting noted that the council had approved a settlement agreement with the AGPOA. In this case, again, no formal vote was shared, and I assume none was taken, as state law and Brown Act procedures require. Votes taken in closed session must be declared in open session. From my position as a local citizen, I'm troubled that discussion and the decision-making process is so collegial that there's never a need to take a vote. I'm more troubled by the possibility that votes are being quashed by one or more members of the council. I sincerely hope that there is spirited discussion, some disagreement from time to time, and real thought given to issues, confidential and public. Certainly, there are times when no decision is rendered. However, the public expects a real, reported vote to confirm and clarify the council's final determinations. Shortly, you will remove yourselves once again to closed session to discuss for the umpteenth time the fate of the city manager. Sadly, I don't hold much faith that a decision will be made that will force you to take a reportable vote. This is just one reason why over 3,000 people voted for change in the recent election. Thank you.
I have one more for Vanessa Andrews.
You already said my name, Vanessa Andrews. I want to state first off that I felt that the original Arroyo Grande police memos, accompanied by a competent and complete follow-up investigation of all the facts by an unbiased party with no conflict of interest, would have been sufficient. But ego, self-serving political interests, prevented the right thing from happening from the very beginning. Eventually, this council finally acquiesced and hired an outside investigating firm, the Centra Group. You selected Centra before and without taking any serious input from the public. You called together for that special meeting on October 8th. After the meeting, I met with Councilman Brown, who was part of the committee to select the Centra Group, and I was concerned on who was going to be the liaison between the investigators and the investigation, and he told me that he did not know. I also warned him that I felt that it was unfair if any of the involved parties were involved in the direction of the Centra Group, and it should have been independent. Again, the transparency issue. I was willing to let that process work, and I pled with a lot of the people that didn't agree with me, that automatically felt that this was going to be a sham of an investigation, we weren't going to learn anything new. and I begged them to please be patient. Let's see what they come up with, then we can complain. Now we're all here, and there's a lot of complaints. The reason why I wanted to know what the liaison or who the liaison was because I wanted to know what the expectation of the investigation was. Was it just for those points? Some of it was vague as to information that was being sought. There was a whole lot more that went on other than July the 3rd. It went from July the 3rd all the way up into the July 8th meeting, council meeting, where he was, Mr. Adams was allegedly spanked, reprimanded. I don't even know what the heck it is that he got, but he got something supposedly from you all. And it's just these things that keep occurring that make us all uncomfortable, where we're not seeing the truth. And then on top of that, we have a city council, some members, and then they're perpetrating information in the media that the Police Officers Association, this union, manipulated the situation for negotiation tactics. And that came out of the mouths of Mr. Adams, our Mayor Ferrara, Ms. Barnick, former council members. So that got the public thinking that there was a problem, an integrity problem, I would say, with the police. But then they said, no, it's not the police, it's the police association or the police union. Everybody get it. The police is the police association. It's not one or the other. They're all the same with the exception of administrators. So I'm hoping you're going to go back there and do what I've asked you to do every time I've stepped before you, and that is to terminate Mr. Adams for his behavior on that night. Not necessarily what went on behind the closed doors, because we really don't know. We do know it was improper, but it was his behavior after, his confrontation with the police, his lying, and the subsequent mess that came, we call it a cover-up, as a result of all of that. He wants to resign. I don't think he deserves that kind of recognition. He doesn't deserve a golden handshake. He deserves a termination based on cause. And the cause is inappropriate behavior, period and simple. He brought shame to this city, and the shame's still here as long as he's over there in City Hall. So please terminate him tonight.
Make an additional comment
on this item. Mayor Pro Tem, honorable members of council, tonight your council will decide on discipline, dismissal, release of the city manager, Mr. Adams. This is a difficult issue for us all. Many of the previous speakers have addressed this, and Mr. Adams has done well in some aspect of his tenure as city manager, for which we thank him. Nonetheless, Mr. Adams is now compromised in his ability to manage the city effectively and impartially. Accordingly, I request the council to accept Mr. Adams' previously tendered resignation to be effective immediately. At this time, I request no further action, such as termination for cause, nor any special compensatory action compensating him be taken. Further, that a city director, such as the city clerk, be appointed to act as a temporary interim manager until another interim manager can be appointed by the incoming council. I also request that no action be taken to engage any employee search organization until the incoming council is seated. Going forward, I thank Mr. Adams for his good service to the city, and we wish him well.
I have one more additional. April McLaughlin says current item. I assume that's...
Good evening. My name is April McLaughlin, and I am an Arroyo Grande resident. I didn't plan on speaking. I was motivated to based on Mr. Martin's, what he talked about. Sorry, again, I didn't plan on this. And other than reiterating and rereading exactly what he just said, he spoke my mind. You have the privilege to meet in closed session and make decisions about our city and what's in our best interest, yet it doesn't seem that you do that with our best interest in mind, and it doesn't seem that you follow protocol to do that and report back to us as you're supposed to. So I do hope that you will, from here on out, start to do that. I think that would be fair to the residents. The residents have spoken, and I hope you have heard them. Thank you.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and come up, sir, and we'll figure out what happened to it later.
I will power. 39-year resident of Rio Grande. Congratulations to the newly elected members of the Rio Grande City Council. I have some advice that may be helpful. In regard to recent events involving the city manager, several things have become increasingly clear, at least to me. I'd like to highlight two. First, what seems to me to be a cheap, cynical attitude towards city government has infected a substantial number of Arroyo Grande residents, some of whom are here tonight. This attitude led to the recent rush to judgment, or should I say stampede to judgment, resulting in not only an expensive and unnecessary formal investigation, but demands by Mr. Otis Page and Ms. Julie Tacker of Los Osos for a full investigation by the grand jury with unfounded allegations of cover-up, corruption, and cover-up, and cover-up, and cover-up. Newly elected members to city government should realize that in Arroyo Grande, you will be presumed guilty until proven innocent. Second, as members of city government, realize that if you dare to displease the Arroyo Grande Police Officers Association, you may be subject to attack mailers, votes of no confidence, and what can only be called political intimidation. The existing situation regarding the Police Officers Association and city government looks to me like a case of the tail trying very hard to wag the dog. I don't envy you your new job. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll give it one last shot here. Okay, and I will say this, I suspect that several of, Beatrice, you put down that you wanted to speak on 8A, which was, sure, of course, all right.
For weeks, my name is Beatrice Spencer, I'm a Rio Grande resident for 33 years. For weeks now, we have been urged to wait for the results of this independent investigation. Although many of us doubted an investigation paid for by the city would truly be independent, we were reassured on numerous occasions, both publicly and some privately, that the investigator was given free rein to look into anything and everything. Basically, that the scope of this investigation would not be a pinprick. I said to this council, if you have no intention of widening the scope of the investigation to determine the truth and not just whether or not Steve Adams was literally caught with his pants down, please do not waste our money. As many of us suspected, our money has been wasted on this portion of the report, the portion available to the public. Council members Brown and Guthrie, who were led to believe they were going to get to the truth, have been duped. 34 people were interviewed, and what have we learned? We learned that no one observed Steve inappropriately dressed. So what? $26,000 for that? We knew this from the statements of the officers on July 3rd, who all reported what they had seen. Our city council should demand a refund from Mr. Hoekstra and his firm. He has told us nothing we didn't already know. Page 3 of the report states the information used by the council to make their July 8th decision not to conduct an additional investigation would be part of this investigation. Of greater concern to me at this point are the statements made by City Attorney Carmel. Mr. Carmel's number one responsibility to our city is to limit the exposure to us, yet we continue to find ourselves time and time again subject to litigation, claims, and situations that possibly could have been avoided had our council received or followed better counsel. Page 2 states that Mr. Carmel was directed to reprimand Adams during the closed session on July 8th. After a lengthy discussion, the council directed Carmel to reprimand Adams and notify him that any future similar behavior could result in termination. Also, that a reprimand and what might be considered a last chance warning is significant discipline. No, it is not. Termination with cause is significant discipline. Just to give this some perspective, in our company, we have a no grazing policy. Grazing is a term that describes consuming food or beverages without paying for them first. So we have terminated, yes, fired people for eating a bag of potato chips if they could not prove that they had previously paid for them. Did we need to see them eat the chips? No. But when someone is holding an empty bag and you can smell chips on their breath, you do not need to see them having eaten those potato chips. You can assume they ate the chips. It's not a crazy leap, just as two people in City Hall for hours, disheveled and startled by the police, is a pretty good indication of some sort of inappropriate behavior. Certainly behavior that is unbecoming our city manager. It is said that what we see depends mainly on what we look for. And I think it is clear that Mr. Hoekstra was not looking for the truth. He wasn't looking for much of anything at all. Thank you.
Okay, with that, I now have another one from Leanne Atkins.
Mine's short as I didn't have time to prepare anything. My name's Leanne Atkins and I'm a resident of Arroyo Grande. I live at 608 Cornwall Avenue. After reading this, I think I'm most disheartened by the fact that there's a statement on page 7. Given these facts combined with some unfortunate comments reported in the media, it is easy to see how this incident resulted in the ire of the police association. I have a problem with that statement. I think it lacks the idea of not being biased. And this incident was not fabricated by any media, fringe or otherwise. Something happened on July 3rd. It was mishandled incredibly by this council, by our city attorney, and our mayor, and I'm very frustrated, and I feel like the council right now doesn't care what any citizen feels unless we align ourselves with you. Thank you.
Okay. All right, and with that, I will close public comment. And we will convene to closed session. I know there are concerns about the timing of closed
session. Consent agenda.
Consent agenda. All right, moving on to the consent agenda, which is a change in the minutes. Any comments on that from council members?
No.
So I have a, can we just do this on a voice vote? Okay. So we could.
Roll call.
We have a motion and a.
I move we accept the.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes. With that, we'll move on to the closed session item. I know there is concern about how long it could take. I'm going to commit that we will be back in an hour. We'll make it 7:35. We hope to finish by then, but if for some reason we don't, we'll stop our meeting and we will come here in order to have the public presentation made at a time certain. So with that, we will adjourn to closed session. Thank you.
Upstairs.
call us back to order from closed session, and I do have a report out of closed session. The council has decided to accept Steve Adams' resignation and immediately place him on paid administrative leave until an interim manager is hired. The motion was made by myself, seconded by Kristen Barnich, and the vote was unanimous. And with that, we will move on with the public presentation of the investigator's report. One thing first. So I do have these speaker slips. I'll call each of give you guys each an opportunity if you need to come back up, but other people who may want to speak on this item in the end. We are going to allow questions. It doesn't mean that the investigator can answer them based on the privacy issues involved, but if you do want to speak, I would like speaker slips from you. I'll give all these people a second shot. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Pro Tem, members of the council, city staff, and members of the public. My name is Chuck Hoekstra. I'm an investigator in the Center Group of Ventura. I'm here tonight to present you with a summary of our investigation of the July 3rd incident at City Hall. Before I begin, let me introduce my colleague, Peter Ruggiero. Peter is a retired San Diego police officer and former federal agent. And with us tonight is also Steve Bowman, the owner of Center Group. Steve is a retired assistant police chief from the city of Ventura and also an attorney. Myself, I was an assistant police chief for the city of Oxnard. Just so you know, normally this type of investigation would not have taken nearly as long, but the scheduling of witnesses really caused, I can't say it was a delay because we had people asking for representation, which is their right, but that's one of the reasons this took so long was to get everybody scheduled at times when they were able to get the representation. On the same line, the reason we had to schedule this in a special meeting is actually our fault, and I apologize for that. But we'd planned on being finished with this a lot sooner, and so we both had made plans to be out of town, and I apologize. And I appreciate you coming here tonight for this special meeting. But again, it's our fault, nobody else. Because this is a personnel investigation, there are some things I won't be able to discuss in open session. And also, the scope of our investigation was confined to the details of the July 3rd incident, information the council used to make their decisions in the July 8th closed session meeting, and the inquiry by Deputy City Attorney McMahon, and information and no confidence from the Police Officers Association. Before I start, please bear with me. I need to clear the air on one thing. After our report was issued, it was pretty obvious that the last line in my report was interpreted to mean that the police officer's integrity and professionalism was not questioned in the aftermath of the July 3rd incident. That's not what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say is, in our investigation and in the witnesses we interviewed, that officers were described by us as professional, ethical, and above reproach. We, having said that, we understand, and we've heard, and we've seen some in the media, some of the rhetoric that was said and published about the so-called motives of the Police Officers Association. First of all, we consider those comments exactly that, unsubstantiated rhetoric that was more of a distraction than anything else. In addition, it had nothing to do with our investigation. We do think it's unfortunate, however, that the comments found their way into the press. And when you think about it, this chain of events did not come as a result from anything the police officers did. They're the proverbial good guys as far as we're concerned, but just doing their job and doing what they were paid to do. Just wanted to clear that up because that was not what we were trying to say. We wanted to comment on their professionalism, their ethics, and the fact that they cooperated fully with us. And on that same note, just so you know, from the get-go in this case, we received unfettered access to everything we wanted in the city, as far as employees to interview, evidence, potential evidence, anything we needed, we were given. Second, please keep in mind that there are some things that are part of this investigation that pertain to a personnel investigations, and I can't share them. Having said that, please don't read into my comments or my not answering a question as to it meaning that there's something there. It only means I can't answer the question. Employees have rights, and we're certainly not going to violate them. So to start with, let me just go over the investigation, then Mr. Ruggiero is going to read to you verbatim the synopsis. And the only reason we're doing that is because, according to Mr. Guthrie, there are people at home that have not seen this report, and this is the only chance that they'll get to hear what we have to say. So bear with me on that, please. Okay, the scope of the investigation was to reinvestigate the July 3rd incident, review the internal investigation by Deputy City Attorney McMahon, review the information that the council had available to them to make their decision on July 8th, and to look into the concerns by the Arroyo Grande Police Officers Association in their letter dated September 17th. The council wanted an assessment of their actions from the time they received details of the incident and the aftermath. Like I said before, we received complete cooperation from everybody involved in this, every employee in the city, your elected body, the city attorney's office, everybody cooperated fully with us. As far as methodology, we conducted 34 interviews of past and present employees of the city, the responding officers, city hall employees, members of the city council, the chief of police, Mr. Adams, and Ms. McLish. We also reviewed the footage from the Blue Watch cameras and from inside City Hall on the night in question. Sorry. Yeah, so like I said, bear with us. We're going to read the synopsis of what happened.
Okay, the synopsis is as follows. On July 3rd, 2014, at approximately 11:04 p.m., Arroyo Grande police officers were dispatched to the Arroyo Grande City Hall to check on the well-being of Teresa McLish, Arroyo Grande Community Development Director. McLish's husband, concerned that his wife had not arrived home on time and was not answering her cell phone, asked the police to check in the area of City Hall for her vehicle. Officers found McLish's vehicle in the parking lot and noted her purse and cell phone inside. Believing she may be inside City Hall, officers made several attempts to contact her from the outside by knocking on windows and doors. When they did not receive a response, officers made entry into the building and eventually located McLish and City Manager Steve Adams inside his office. According to the officers, and as reported in the local media, both McLish's and Adams' appearance appeared to be disheveled. According to the officers, the door to Adams' office was closed prior to the officers making contact with him. After advising McLish to contact her husband, the officers left and returned to police headquarters, where they each completed an incident report. On July 4th, 2014, Chief of Police Stephen Anibali contacted City Attorney Timothy Carmel and briefed him on the incident. Carmel, in turn, notified Mayor Tony Ferrara and other members of the City Council. Carmel also contacted both Adams and McLish and questioned them about their activities on July 3rd. After receiving copies of the police reports from Chief Anibali, Carmel distributed them to all five members of the council. Carmel directed Deputy City Attorney Michael McMahon to conduct a follow-up inquiry with each of the officers who were on scene at City Hall on the night of July 3rd. The purpose of the inquiry was to gather as much pertinent information as possible for the council to review during a closed session meeting on July 8th. On July 7th, 2014, Adams conducted meetings with his staff. He told them that on the evening of July 3rd, he and McLish attended a restaurant opening during which they both consumed wine. After the opening, they went to a nearby restaurant where they both consumed an additional glass of wine. Because they had both been drinking, they elected to walk across the street to the Arroyo Grande City Hall to rest and allow the effects of the wine to wear off before driving. The City Council met on July 8th, 2014. During their closed session, they were presented with McMahon's information by City Attorney Carmel. In addition, City Manager Adams provided them with his account of his actions on July 3rd. After discussion, the council reached a consensus to direct Carmel to reprimand Adams. In that reprimand, the council directed Carmel to notify Adams that any additional or similar behavior could result in his dismissal from employment with the city. On August 12, 2014, details of this incident were reported by the Cal Coast News. Afterward, members of the public expressed a desire for the council to commission an independent investigation into the incident. The council discussed this and felt they had already adequately dealt with the issue and elected not to do a further investigation. On September 17, 2014, the Arroyo Grande Police Officers Association wrote a letter of no confidence in Mayor Ferrara and City Manager Adams, asserting there was more information available than the initial investigation had uncovered and that the investigation was flawed and incomplete. Because of these implications that there may be additional information available, and because the Police Officers Association and public's expressed desire for an additional investigation, the council subsequently elected to seek an outside investigation, subsequently assigned to the Centra Group.
Okay, results. All the police officers stated the reports were true and accurate. They all expressed also that they were not allowed to express their opinions when they were interviewed by the city attorney's office. They all expressed concern that there wasn't a formal follow-up investigation, and several expressed that they had attended city training, behavioral training, and that Mr. Adams' behavior fit into what was described as inappropriate. They also said that they felt like Mr. Adams and Mrs. Butkosh's behavior was a violation of city policy and should be treated as such. We interviewed Adams and McLish. They both adamantly denied being involved in a romantic relationship and also adamantly denied that anything inappropriate took place in Adams' office. Reviews of the videos did not really provide any additional evidence. In our conclusions, there was no substantive evidence pointing to an inappropriate or romantic relationship. We feel that it exhibited poor judgment by going to City Hall at 11 p.m. after consuming alcohol, and that a manager and subordinate employee sitting in a closed-door office at 11 p.m., even if innocent, gives the perception of some form of inappropriateness. We also found in our interviews that there was a perception by some city employees that there was more to this than it met the eye, and more to it than a casual manager-subordinate relationship. And then also in our opinion, we have opined that Adams should not have allowed this perception to flourish. The follow-up investigation by Deputy City Attorney Michael McMahon, his purpose and goal was to determine if the officer's written statements were complete and determine if they had anything to add to their reports. Again, his methodology was to focus on what the officers saw and heard. The interviews were not recorded, and the questions were specific and geared towards determining if anything improper, specifically sexual, took place inside Adams' office. And his line of questioning didn't allow for any speculation or conjecture. Our conclusion, his interview was more of an inquiry than an investigation to determine if there's anything specific that the officers wanted to add to their statements during, more of an, inquiry than a follow-up investigation. McMahon did what he was asked in a professional and appropriate manner. However, in our thoughts, when interviewing police officers, it's far better to do it in person, and they expect the interviews to be recorded. These officers were also expecting a formal follow-up investigation during which they could express their opinions and not a telephonic inquiry. The conclusion as far as what the City Council had, the information they had to make their decision on July 8th, they'd already been provided with copies of the police memorandums. The city attorney provided them with the results of the McMahon interviews, and Adams gave them an account of the incident. He was excused from the room, and at that time, the city attorney advised the council that Adams' Carroll contract paralleled the city's employment rules. He also advised them that Adams' behavior may be a violation of a section in the contract that addressed conduct unbecoming and bringing discredit to the city. After deliberation, the council directed the city attorney to reprimand Adams and notify him that any like or similar behavior could result in his termination. Because this was a personnel matter, there was no legal mechanism for the city attorney to publicly disseminate the information at that time. Based on the information they had, we feel the council acted in an appropriate and timely manner. You have to remember they had benefit of some articulate police reports. They had their legal counsel to give them advice. And that we feel that a reprimand and what I characterize as a last chance warning would be significant discipline. We also feel that they met their due diligence requirements. Additionally, there was no indication that anyone attempted to cover up this incident, but we feel that a formal investigation at the onset would have probably alleviated a lot of this turmoil that followed the incident. But bottom line, the council acted on the information that was given to them. The information the city council used to make the decision to conduct an independent investigation, August 12, 2014, Cal Coast News reports this incident. There's a hue and cry in the community to conduct a formal investigation, and the council was also encouraged by other city employees, including the chief of police, to conduct a follow-up investigation. At the time, they felt that they had met their due diligence, already disciplined Adams, and felt that a new investigation would not be of any benefit. The letter in September 17, 2014, of no confidence from the Arroyo Grande Police Officers Association, intimated that they were concerned about a possible cover-up, that there may be additional information to be garnered in an appropriate investigation. Based on this letter and based on the public outcry, the council elected to commission a formal investigation. The concerns of the identified at the Arroyo Grande Police Officers Association. No one outside of the city council and city attorney's office knew that the council had disciplined Adams. The POA concerns, they were concerned about the manner in which the officers were interviewed. They were concerned that Mr. Adams was apparently not being held accountable for his actions. And the officers who responded to City Hall on July 3rd felt that their integrity was called into question. They also felt that their reports were either ignored or discounted. In addition to that, some city staff that were also under the impression that the council had not found fault and Adams' behavior on July 3rd. Our conclusion, we don't think it would have reached this level if the initial inquiry were handled more like an investigation and if council had the benefit of publicly disseminating their actions of July 8th. Everyone we interviewed, both in the legislative body or city employees, spoke highly of the police officers involved in this incident. Everybody interviewed understood that they were placed in a very difficult position. And given in the way that it was handled and combined with some of the comments that were, like I mentioned earlier, it was pretty easy to see why the Officers Association was upset. That's it. Again, I'll answer questions, but please understand that there, if it involves a personnel issue, I can't answer it. And don't take my non-answer as meaning there's something to it. It's not fair to the employees involved, and everybody has rights.
The way I'd like to work this is come up, make your comments, or ask your questions. We'll deal with all the questions in the end. They will not respond directly to you. So come up, make a comment or a question, and then we will have a response at the end. So I don't know if we have new speakers beyond these. Okay, can you go ahead and fill out the speaker slip for me? I have one for you, Colleen. You won't need to do a second. So if you already have one for me, I'm going to go through these first. Just decline it if you don't want to. Beatrice Spencer, do you want to make a comment here following the... Okay. Leanne Akins, do you want to make a comment following this? Okay. Leanne Akins? Okay. April McLaughlin? Vanessa Andrews.
I understand your position in not being able to reveal information concerning personnel matters. I have a couple of questions with respect to, and I know you can't answer me directly, is that correct right now?
He'll answer all the questions in the end.
Okay. I noticed that the common thread through the investigation conclusions constantly referred to substantive evidence versus any circumstantial evidence. For example, all the people at City Hall that had suspicions of what was going on. You know, very seldom do we get that substantive evidence, which means you caught them in the act, all of it. We rely on circumstantial evidence an awful lot. And when enough inferences are built up to support a conclusion, that's included as well. And I didn't find that in this report. So I'm wondering why not, and who set the standards for what gave your accounting for these conclusions. The other comment, if you bear with me for just a second, concerns the, I guess, the last page and the last issue regarding the POA's, the POA Association and the no confidence letter that was sent. There's a lot of things that are missing in this statement about the issue other than the tryst or the possible sexual relationship that was occurring inside of that office. There was an incident, again, of her being behind a door. There was conflicting testimony or statements made by involved parties to the press that it was in conflict to what was said or enhanced what they had said. There's no mention in the fact that he lied to the police officers on arrival and why he would lie. So it feels like there's a lot missing is what I'm asking about. And maybe it's in that second report that I would assume includes all these personal issues that you can't relate to us as the public, and that I understand. But we're still stuck with the same result that they got during that original investigation. And I think it's because of this limited scope. But I do think that the scope is expanded when you read the letter from the Peace Officers Association on September 17th, because that expanded the scope in its entirety because of what's gone on since the 8th. And as a result, the allegations of cover-up, the allegations of everything. I mean, there's been allegations thrown all over the place. But I do feel that maybe they got bad legal advice. But I'm not getting that from your report either. So here's hoping that you got better information than we did or more complete information. But those are the questions I have. Hope I get an answer.
Otis Page, is Otis still here? You gone? Mike Andrews. Additional comments? Okay. Glenn Martin, additional comments? Colleen Martin.
Hi. I was a little disappointed in the report. I thought it would be more specific, like with a timetable, a real breakdown of the facts versus conclusions. Facts and then conclusions. One of the things I know that happened here at City Hall is that all employees were provided a letter. I don't know who it was from, either Mr. Guthrie, Mr. Brown, or someone, asking them if they wanted to participate in the interviews, and if they did, they could sign something, and the letter actually said that there would be no negative repercussions if they did want to come forward and communicate with you. First off, I thought that letter would be part of the report because it's part of the investigation. Secondly, I would love to know how many employees were willingly came forward to be interviewed with you as a result of that letter. Okay. Some of the things that I was expecting from the report would be like there's no mention of the famous green tea. It says that they came back to City Hall to rest, when Mr. Adams himself has made quite a big deal about the green tea that they were drinking. So that kind of perplexed me. The other thing was even the date that this was brought forward to the public was the article on Cal Coast News, and on August 19th, and then also the mayor's response to that at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon. And so I guess I was really, really thinking we were going to get some good, just facts. These are the facts. This is what we know out of the report, which we didn't. And, you know, there are media sources that do some of that, but we're looking for someone for a timeline from the minute that phone call was entered in at the PD, and they started looking. And so that kind of bothered me. It bothered me that the date is incorrect here on the Calcoast News article. That makes me wonder what else is missing. The other thing that really concerns me is I know full well that both Mr. Guthrie and Mr. Brown, who I have contacted outside of a meeting, I asked them about the focus of the investigation, and they reiterated just what you said, that they gave you full rein. And this just doesn't feel full rein to me. And so it would be really great if we had some backup addendums or that letter, some of the other evidence you've used, that substantive, whatever you call it, evidence, to show that it's not just a he said, she said, but more these are the documents I'm using, agendas, minutes, all those kind of things to show what's transpired, not just on July 3rd, but really what we were looking for was July 4th through 8th. That's the cover-up time. That's when we think city policy was also violated. So thank you. If you can provide that for us in any way, that would be great.
Nitya DeVore, I think I did just about last time of this. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, City Council members, staff, and ladies and gentlemen, my name again is Alexi Davar, resident of Arroyo Grande. I reviewed the report prepared by consultants, and I found it professional, very well done. And I think any professional in place of Mr. Adams would resign if he could stay what happened here in this hall. I'm not talking about what happened, we don't know, in their office. But what happened here in this hall in the past 2 months, I think anybody, any professional would have resigned. And as far as the performance of City Council, I personally don't think they performed well, but who I am. You guys are our elected officials, and we abide what you have decided. And I think the public members here should realize that. Well, this is done, and let's move on. And this is the nature of election. Somebody loses, somebody new comes to the position, and we expect him to be professional and to conduct the business in a very business-like manner as expected from him or her as a public official. Thank you very much for the opportunity again.
Will Power. Jim Hill. Official comment. Right. Patty Welsh. And Julie Tacker.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I really just have some questions. First of all, I'd like to know what your final bill is going to be, because I know you had a not to exceed, but how close did you come to that? The couple of questions for you guys. People want to know why Mr. Adams will receive pay while he's out on admin leave. Colleen is right. The Calcoast News article was August 19th. The board met on August 12th, and I think that's what the police were waiting for, is some sort of report at that time, and it didn't happen. So whatever magic powers Calcoast News learned about the incident. The other question I have for you is, when will you expand the scope? Clearly, there was more that happened even after July 8th with trying to keep the lids on the pots while the kettles were simmering. Some evidence that I looked at, and I don't know that you did because you do not refer to it, was the door keypad to City Hall. Mrs. McClish opened the door at 9:38 p.m. There's also on the videotape, within the same minute, some flashing of lights on the car. So I'm not sure which happened first, but in a very short time, that door opened at 9:38. Mr. McClish calls at 11:04, but the officers do not make contact with McClish until 11:38, 11:39. That's 2 hours in the building. How long does it take to sober up? And you guys do this investigative work. You see how much somebody weighs, how much they drank, and how long it takes to sober up. And if you add green tea, it should have been about a half an hour. So there's really no explanation for those two people to have been in that building for 2 full hours. You can answer it.
Carol Hansen. Sorry, Carol Hansen is.
Carol Hansen. Oh, my goodness. Speaking. I just have I'm a little confused about this. It was my understanding that Mr. Adams, it was determined that he acknowledged that, he had breached the protocol of his office within the community and that he had resigned and that he was going to stay until someone else was appointed. And this was all of the investigation talk and all of that was going on, but it was, I believe I read that he had resigned and the newspapers had printed it and it was a given. And tonight, I understand that he's on a leave of, you've put him on administrative leave and with pay. So I'm sure I have some publications at home that say he resigned and actually he was interviewed and he resigned and that he was going to stay until, the city found someone else to replace him. So tonight in this meeting that you had, did you now put him on over and above his resigning? He's now officially on administrative leave with pay. And I don't understand how someone who's breached the protocol of their office and cost the community quite a bit of money with all of these investigations and attorneys and all of this back and forth. That's, in these times, that's quite a bit of money. And now you're going to pay him? And he's waiting on admin leave for how long is admin leave? Until his replacement comes in? So has he resigned and sticking around for now? He's not going to be seating in his office and he is on admin leave with pay? I think he's getting rewarded. I think this whole flap is costing the city a lot of money. Usually when someone breaches their contract and whatever, they're fired and they leave and they get someone new and you don't reward them. So it's a little confusing to me. Thank you very much.
Anyone else who'd like to ask questions or make comments? All right, then I'll turn it back over to the investigator.
Excuse me. A question about evidence, circumstantial evidence, substantive evidence. We deal in facts. We understand that there is innuendo and there's speculation, but when in our job we have to deal with facts. That doesn't mean we ignore the other items and we didn't. But again, those are things I can't discuss. in this open session. As far as the POA letter of no confidence, why there was no mention of Mr. Adams lying, at least according to this question, again, that's an area that I can't go into. How many employees came forward? We actually sought out employees ourselves, and we asked to have them provided with that letter so they would be comfortable talking to us. And granted, it was after the fact. We wanted to make sure that they knew that they were protected and it was okay to talk to us. But we received unfettered cooperation from everybody that we dealt with. Question about the T. Again, that goes into the personnel investigation. Why the scope wasn't any bigger? Well, that's the scope was set by the people who hired us. I thought it was adequate to conduct this investigation. The question is, why did we didn't include agendas and other documents in the in our report? I'm not sure how to answer that. We included everything we looked at. The amount of the final bill, I'll defer to Mr. Guthrie.
$1. We'll announce the bill, of course, when we get it.
And the question about the City Hall door keypad and flashing the lights. Without going into the personnel investigation, we know about that. Again, there's a lot of stuff that we just cannot talk about in here, and I'm sorry. That's the way it is. I apologize. I know you want to hear it, but we can't do it. And the same with the question of why they were in the building for 2 hours. That goes into the personnel investigation side of this.
We're addressed with what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
I'll just say on the cost, it was indicated to me that it'll be between $15,000 and $17,000. Okay, so I will bring it back to the council for any comments or.
I have comments, but I just look for the public sake.
There we go. Sorry, just for the public's sake, can you? You did 34 interviews, but you didn't interview 34 people.
That's correct.
So, can you kind of describe that math and how you got there?
As far as we went back and talked to people with follow-up questions, we'd interview a group of people. They say something, we go back and interview another group. They say something else, we go back to the first group.
So how many people in total do you think you interviewed?
In the 20 range. I apologize, I don't have the exact number.
But it's somewhere between 20 and 28.
Yes, it is.
I have other comments, but I don't know.
Okay,
so
why don't we just say any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Tim, what the public brought up, which as far as what we have to report out of closed session by the letter of the law, can you explain that, please?
You mean just generally?
Well, I mean as far as how we vote on consent agenda items and we vote on in open session.
It's not really an agendized item, but I'd be glad to comment briefly. Yeah, the Brown Act defines exactly when you have to make announcements out of closed session. They specify under what circumstances you must disclose votes and other subject matter discussed. My philosophy has always been that the heart of the Brown Act is transparency and that all those votes and all those deliberations and discussions should take place in open session. And I structure my closed session so that there are not votes. And frankly, there's been very few over the 21 years I've been here because they take place in open session on agendized items. And I think you probably all know that because you've been doing this for quite a while. There's never an attempt to avoid a vote. If there is a vote in closed session, it's announced. I can count on one hand how many times I've allowed you to vote. And you know I normally say to you all, we don't vote in closed session. Because that's not what the Brown Act really wants. So if that's what you meant, That's why there are no votes announced out of closed session, because we don't take them.
I'll just add to that. I think if you review council agendas, you will see that, in fact, those discussions end up coming out into open session as a vote, often on consent agenda, but those do take place in the public and couldn't be discussed in the public. I think on the question that had to do with the decision, leave of absence, paid leave of absence, this has to do with the way the terms of resignation were laid out, that unless we were going to find termination for cause, that we were going to have to deal with his resignation language, and his resignation language is when he's replaced. And that's why we will move expeditiously to replace him, but in the interim, in order to avoid litigation, we will be paying him.
Can you just reiterate the fact that we're going to probably hire an interim manager?
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's why we did put the term interim in here.
So we could hire somebody quickly.
And on the question of whether there would be a follow-up or further investigation, I think maybe some of the answers to the questions here resolve that, but I do not see there being a further investigation of any other issues. I was going to ask at this point, I assume you can answer this question, and that has to do, in your opinion, was there an attempt to cover this up by the city council?
Not that we saw.
Okay. Not in the evidence that you revealed. No. Okay. All right. Thank you. So with that, I think we can move on to any comments that anybody wants to make at this point.
Joe, you want to start?
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that I think this has been an entirely unfortunate incident. I'd like to see the city heal. I'm not going to be on this council for more than about another 10 days. I hope my successors have all success, and let's get the community back going forward.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. First of all, like Joe, I've been wanting to turn this page for a long time. This has been a rough 6 months for everybody involved. Sorry if I'm getting a little emotional. I'm a little emotional, and I just ask you to bear with me on this. I've kept my mouth shut based on the fact that I didn't want to add to the furor and the divisiveness that has been going on in this community. It's been very unhealthy. And I promised people that I would hold my tongue until after the investigation. Well, that time is here. The investigation is done. And I'm just going to make some very few comments. I may have more to say in days to come, but right now I want to just make some very short comments about where we're at today. On July 4th, probably close to noon, I received a call from Tim Carmel in which he described that an incident had occurred, and he briefly told me what he thought the incident was in brief terms. During that discussion, he mentioned to me very specifically that the mayor was hesitant to share this with the rest of the council. And to his credit, Tim Carmel told the mayor this must be shared with the rest of the council. So Tim Carmel deserves credit for that action. The mayor clearly did not want this to go out into public view. In addition, though, during our conversation, I was upset to find out that there had been a previous incident in which employees had described their complaints regarding Steve Adams and Teresa McClish that was handled, quote unquote, in-house. This was handled via the city manager, the city attorney, which kind of upset me, and I got a little agitated, to say the least. The city council has one job typically, and one job only, and that is to, or the major job, is to be the boss of the city manager. We are not to get involved with other personnel issues. we are absolutely to get involved with anything to do with the city manager. So I was extremely dismayed, and Tim and I had a heated conversation, and I'm not going to go word for word about what it was, but he basically said, this is the way we've done it. This is the way it's done. I disagree with that. That was a mistake. And that is part of, and part of me wondered, well, maybe that's why the mayor wanted it. Has had some hesitation about letting the city council know about the second incident. Maybe he knew about the first incident, maybe he didn't. Only person that can answer that question is the mayor. There's nobody else that can answer that but the mayor. And I'm not going to pretend that I know whether he knew or not. I don't know. When I met with the investigators, I mentioned the prior incident. And Jim and I very openly said they have the right and the ability to pursue anything related to that incident. And that incident includes anything else that might show a pattern of behavior other than just what happened between July 3rd going forward. So I have absolute faith, and I still believe our integrity is intact, that these investigators did exactly what they were tasked to do. You may not like the result, but I can tell you they did exactly what they were asked to do. Okay? The biggest complaint I have is we had this information, and the city council chose to give Steve Adams a verbal reprimand even though he had broken policy. That is our mistake, if anything. That is not the police officer's mistake. That's not the, you know, that's on us, okay? That's not to say that there's going to be something new coming out. We acted rightly or wrongly on the information we had, and we went a certain direction. And you may like that direction or you may not, but the reality remains the same. The facts are still there. The facts remain the same. And we chose basically to say Steve Adams has had a long, good track record with the city and done a very good job. And for all intents and purposes, it was forgive and forget. Let's move on. That's what it got down to. And that's what happened. Whether you like it or not, that's what happened. And I hope to God, if I'm in a job for 12 years and I make a mistake, people can at least give me another chance. I hope that happens, if it happens to me. I really do. Having said that, I want to move on to a couple other things. This incident, everybody wants to talk about a cover-up. Tony didn't cover this up. He's not a marionette. Somebody outside of the city leaked this information. Tony didn't leak it out to the public. He didn't wait. I'm surprised it took 7 weeks, quite honestly. So this idea that Tony somehow mastermind this cover-up is ridiculous. Okay? Am I happy about the fact that he didn't want to tell the council, or that's the impression that I was told by Tim Carmel? No. Am I happy about the fact that Tim Carmel handled an issue in-house that didn't come to the city council? No, I'm not. But you guys are giving us far too much credit if you think that we somehow mastermind some sort of cover-up. That's ridiculous. It's just plain ridiculous. The other thing I want to say is that the issue of police integrity has come up time and time again. And again, just because we chose not to use the information we had in front of us does not put their integrity in question. It may be our fault, it may be our flaw, but it does not mean we faulted the police for the job that they did. I do believe that constant discussion of the playbook does cause them call them into question and their integrity into question. And it's very divisive, and it's not helpful, and it's not healing, and it's just not right. I don't like their attorney, quite honestly. And I know he's got some integrity issues. And if you dig into his past, you will find out that he is up on racketeering charges. He's got issues. I am not going to take that same kind of lack of integrity and question the police department and say just because their attorney has those issues, they have the same issues, because I don't believe that. And I don't think this council believes that. So my point is, we need to stop talking about the playbook. If we want to heal this community, we need to move forward and get on with it. A few other quick things is everybody wants to go on about the cover-up and everything else. The fact of the matter is this all lies at the feet of Steve Adams. Steve Adams made some mistakes as a supervisor, and he is to be the one to be blamed for this, nobody else. And he admits he made mistakes in judgment. Okay? I don't blame Teresa a bit because she's a subordinate. You could argue that she is just as culpable, but ultimately it's the supervisor that has the responsibility not to put themselves in that situation. Teresa has quietly gone about her business with no public defense. You've never heard her go to the paper, talk to anyone. She's been nothing but professional. And I have a lot of respect for that. There's been far too much talking, far too many paper articles, far too much blame by a lot of different people, including people on this council and staff, pointing the finger at somebody else. She has never done that. She has done nothing but go about her job. And she needs to be... that needs to be understood. That I don't care what you think about her, but her actions have been nothing but professional. Now, additionally, I just want to say Kelly Whitmore has been inundated with public records requests. Barely able to do her job. Stressed, I'm sure, but she's done it with nothing but professionalism. And you, not you, us, we all need to understand that the staff at the city continues to do their job in a professional manner. And they need some relief. They need to know that we support them. So my question to you is, how are you going to show staff that you support them? What are you going to do to let them know, despite this problem we're having, that you support them? Because when all is said and done, we can come and go, city manager can come and go, you know, all that can happen, the staff remains doing their job. They deserve some credit. So I want you to think about what is it you can do to make their job a little easier and maybe show some appreciation for what they've done. Okay, because they are in the midst of a firestorm, and they don't deserve this. They really don't. So, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Pro Tem, I appreciate your latitude. I apologize for my emotional sense, but I've held back, and I'm done holding back. It's time to, and people need to understand that Jim and I did this with the utmost integrity, and gave the investigators exactly whatever they needed to do what they needed to do. And I'm sorry if it doesn't give you the answers you want, but I can tell you without a doubt they did their job. Thank you.
Get
your mic on.
I'm glad the investigation's completed. It took a little bit longer than we thought, but I'm glad that we have that behind us. I'm hopeful, for the most part, that it will clear the air in Arroyo Grande and we can get back to regular city council business. As is the regular custom, in December, the council goes dark for our last meeting. It would have been on December 23rd. We're not going to be here because of that. We have two very heavy agendas at the end of this month and the beginning of the next month. There are important projects, very important projects, and issues coming before the City Council. So I hope that City Council can focus on these things and come back into the council chambers and be able to deliberate and look at these projects that are going to affect us for years and years. And I hope we can move forward in a positive manner and do that. I think that the atmosphere for the past 2 months in the council chambers and in the city has been toxic. It's been toxic for everyone. It's been toxic for you. It's been toxic for us. It's been toxic for staff, for their families, for my families, for your families, for people that are hearing it in the media.
It's disheartening, to say the least. I'm not putting blame on anyone in particular. I think everyone has been exposed to this atmosphere, and it's completely, completely unhealthy for all of us. For the sake of our city, if you love the city as much as I love the city, it is absolutely paramount that we, despite our differences, we suck it up and we get back to regular city business. Thank you.
Well, I'll echo most of the comments that have already been made. I do think when we initially looked at this on July 8th, that based on the information that we have, but also based on the fact that we had a pair of long-term employees who had done a stellar job, that we gave them the benefit of the doubt on that day. Had we done more information, we may very well have come to a different conclusion. But it did not appear at that time to me that we had other information that was waiting out there for us. I think probably for myself, the biggest error was in not doing the investigation on the second opportunity. While I truly believe there was nothing new to really be found, that wasn't really the point of the second investigation. The second investigation was to demonstrate that there was nothing new found, that there was distrust in the community, that what was done was incomplete. And therefore, I think had we done it at that point, it certainly would have been taken care of much more quickly. My concern from the beginning was really whether Mr. Adams could lead, and I think that's where we came to in the end. Maybe sooner than tonight, but we did want to, or at least I wanted to wait until the investigation was complete before we took any action. I do think at this point the ability of Mr. Adams to lead the city is seriously damaged, independent of what the technical facts here may be. And so that for me is why we took the action that we took tonight. I agree there's been a lot of acrimony, there's been really virulent comments, lots of defensiveness, lots of selecting of very different facts and pieces of information, and I do think that at this point that this investigation really brings most of the head. It doesn't answer every question, but I don't think we'll know the answers to every question, I don't think there's very many unanswered questions left. So I'm ready to move forward. I do think that this should be the beginning of what is obviously a very big change in Arroyo Grande based on the last election. So I'll join my council in asking everyone to really just get ready to get back to business. Thank you.
Move adjournment.
So moved.
And with that, we're adjourned.